What powers need to be perfected? Hi, I'm Mike Mason, the St. Joe Society podcast. The St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ by growing strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to learn more about our work, you can check us out online at stjosephsociety.org. All right, gentlemen, this is the intro to Spiritual Theology, episode 2. Now, technically, it's the third episode in our series. The first episode, which was our introductory one, we talked about the nature of sacred theology and where spiritual theology fit into it. Last week, the official kickoff, episode 1, we discussed the nature of man and what it means to be made in the image of God. So we talked about some of the powers that came to being a man, and then we talked about the three aspects of the image of God, namely the natural image, the image of grace, and the image of glory. And it's important to understand the three ways in which we participate in this image, because there's a progression in the moral and the spiritual life that follows of a similar pattern to what we find in biology. So biology, you're a child, an adolescent, adult. Morally, there's moral childhood, moral adolescence, moral adulthood. We talked about that in the intro to moral theology series we did previously, which you can see online. And then in spiritual theology, you have this natural image. You acquire the image of grace through baptism by sanctifying grace. Then you grow in perfection with the three ways of the interior life until, God willing, you persevere unto death, die a happy death in the state of grace, and get the image of glory at the end. So that's what we talked about last week. This week, we're going to focus on what powers or faculties does the soul possess. And the reason why we need to discuss this is that if spiritual theology is the science of the saints, it's the science of the spiritual life, it's the science of Christian perfection, we need to have a strong understanding of what God is trying to perfect, okay? What we are going to see is that we have our soul and our body, okay, particularly our soul, has certain powers, okay, which are called faculties, and appetites that have to be perfected. And there's four of these that need to be perfected. And it just so happens there are four cardinal virtues, one virtue for each of these powers, okay? So this is going to help really shed light on why God's plan for perfecting us. All right, so what is man as we talked about last week? Man is a rational animal. Man is a soul-body composite because we have a body, we have appetites and desires and those sort of things. Because we are rational, we have an intellect and a will. Now, certain faculties come with the soul. A faculty is an inherent mental or physical power, okay? So a faculty is a power that comes with our soul. An appetite, the way we're using it here, is a desire or a striving of finite beings for some sort of good. So we're using appetite in a very similar way that you'd use it in your regular day-to-day conversation, okay? So when you have an appetite for food, you're striving and desiring the good of food. You have an appetite for sex, same sort of thing, okay? Appetite for leisure, whatever you have an appetite for, it means you don't have something that you want, and this appetite's going to motivate you to move, okay? So that's what we mean by faculty and appetites. Now, in the hierarchy of being, okay, in God's creation, there's beings come in a hierarchy. Beings at the top of the hierarchy have the most power. Beings at the bottom have the least, okay? Hence the hierarchy. Now, on this hierarchy, we could put God at the top. Now, those of you guys who have philosophical and theological training, I understand that God's not on the hierarchy of being, okay? But for sake of simplicity, we'll put him at the top. So God's at the top because he's the most perfect, powerful, all that sort of stuff. Okay. At the bottom of the hierarchy of being would be inanimate objects. These are objects in our world that are not alive, like rocks and electrons and stuff like that, okay? So inanimate things would be at the bottom because they're not alive. Water, rocks, dirt, stuff like that. God's at the top. There then is a hierarchy in between. Everything above inanimate objects, what makes it different than the inanimate objects is it is animated, okay? So above the inanimate, we have plants, animals, and human beings, and angels. So plants, animals, human beings, and angels are all alive. Okay, so we're going to set aside the inanimate objects. Let's go up the hierarchy from lowest to highest of inanimate objects. Plants have what's called a vegetative soul. Okay. Now, when I say soul here, soul in this context means a principle of being alive. I don't mean they have a soul like we have. Okay. They have what's called a vegetative soul, which means the thing that allows them to live, okay, which is what a soul is, it has vegetative powers, which means it can take in nourishment, grow, and reproduce. And plants can clearly do that. Okay. The next group of creatures above them would be animals. Now, animals have a sensitive soul. And I don't mean sensitive like, you know, they cry when they watch Hallmark movies or something at Christmas time. Okay. Animals, like plants, have vegetative power. So animals can take in nourishment, grow, and reproduce. So they have what plants have, but they have an extra power called a sensitive soul, which means they have external senses like sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. Just obvious. They also have internal senses. But internally, they have sensation. So they have common sense. They have imagination, estimative powers, memory. So a dog, if he's chasing a rabbit around a bend and there's a fork in the road and he didn't see what trail the rabbit went down, he knows that rabbit had to go down one or the other, okay? Not because a dog's like us in rationality, but because a dog does have, that's a form of common sense. When I say animals have imagination, they have images in their brain of particular things. So your dog has an image in his mind. He can interact with a red ball. You can teach him to do tricks with it. You can teach a dog to rub its nose on a bell to go to the bathroom. This is the sensitive faculties, okay? So animals can do what plants do, but they have this extra power. Now, human beings are above animals. We have what's called a rational soul. So just like plants, we can take in nourishment, grow, and reproduce. Just like animals, we have external senses and internal senses, imagination. What power do we have that animals don't? We have a rational power, the ability to reason abstractly. We can do math and logic and contemplate universals and stuff like that. We have the power of theoretical reason, right? Knowing and acquiring the truth. We have practical reason where we can know what's good and bad for us and pursue that which is good and avoid that which is evil. So man has a rational soul. So again, we have with the creatures below us in the hierarchy, we have things in common with them, but we transcend them and we're above them because of the power that our soul has. What's above us? The only creatures above us would be angels. And angels don't have the limitations that a body brings. So they are supremely intelligent, way more so than us. And they don't have bodies. So they don't have to worry about getting tired, taking a nap, stopping to eat dinner, find a girlfriend, a date for the prom. They don't do any of that stuff, okay? So angels are above us, all right? Now, this hierarchy is important because it's a good way of contextualizing what powers we have and as they compare to other creatures, okay? Now, the only two creatures on this list that can have friendship with God are angels and man, because you have to be rational to do that, all right? But that's a different lecture. All right, now that we've kind of situated where human beings are in this hierarchy, what is the four aspects of the human person and the virtues that perfect them? Okay, what are these four powers, these four faculties? What are these desires and appetites? All right, the first is we have intellects. So the human faculty of understanding, okay, that's knowing particular objects, of judging, what that is forming propositions. So not only can we see a ball, and we notice the ball is red, we can make judgments like the ball is red, right? We can state propositions. And then we can reason about things like, well, all men are mortal. Socrates is man. Therefore, Socrates is mortal. That's reasoning, okay? So our intellect can understand speculative truths that have to do with knowing the truth. And we can also do practical truths, like do art and stuff like that. Now, the virtue the moral virtue that perfects the intellect is prudence. Why? Because prudence is a virtue that perfects the intellect's ability to know right from wrong and choose the good and avoid the evil. The prudence is how to the knowledge of the natural law applied to particular circumstances. That's prudence. So prudence perfects the intellect. The next power our soul has is the power of will. Now, the will is a rational appetite for something that a person rationally apprehends as good. So your will wants the good as such. It just wants good stuff. Your will actually doesn't really care what good it's after. It just wants it. Your intellect presents good objects before the will, and then the will goes after them. The virtue of justice perfects the will, because as you're pursuing things that are good for yourself, you have to do that. You have to temper that desire so that you can live in community well. Sometimes you got to share with people. You got to give other people what they deserve, even if maybe you don't get it. That's justice. So justice perfects the will so that a person can, you know, be the Christ-like man he's supposed to be. The third appetite is called the irascible appetite, I-R-A-S-C-I-B-L-E, irascible. This appetite is the appetite for arduous goods, and this is a sense appetite. Now, it's rational insofar as the reason is going to direct it, but it's a sense appetite for arduous goods. This is your appetite to do difficult things like learn to play the piano, get a master's degree, you know, get a promotion at work, like whatever you're after. So you play football, since it's football season, right? Play football. That's their irascible appetite. The irascible appetite is perfected by fortitude. Okay. So fortitude, we also call courage, equips the person to pursue arduous goods in the face of all the challenges that come with pursuing arduous goods. Okay. So there's the third cardinal virtue, perfects the irascible appetite. The final appetite we have is the concupiscible appetite, which is the sense appetite for pleasurable goods. This is your appetite for food, drink, and sex. Food, drink, and sex in the Catholic tradition are goods. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing dirty or gross or terrible about any of those things. However, since original sin, our desire for food, drink, and sex is out of control. Okay. It's called concupiscence. We have a disordered desire for things. We desire them too much, too often, and at the wrong times. Okay. We need to acquire a virtue called temperance with food, drink, and sex in order to live a good life. So to review, our soul, if the faculties and appetites of the soul are 1, intellect, 2, will, 3, the irascible appetite, the desire for difficult goods, 4, the concupiscible appetite, the appetite for pleasurable goods. There are 4 cardinal virtues that perfect each one of those. So there's 1 for each. So prudence perfects the intellect. Justice perfects the will. Fortitude perfects the irascible appetite. Temperance perfects the concupiscible appetite. Guys, what it means to grow in holiness is to become virtuous. Why? Because virtue is a strength. And ironically, the word for virtue, the Latin root of virtue and the Latin root for man is the same word. So to be a real man is to be a virtuous man. And so when we talk about the science of the saints and the science of becoming holy, one of the things we're emphasizing is acquiring the moral virtues. Now there's more to becoming holy than just that, which we'll get to later. God supplies a lot of help for you to grow in those moral virtues. But the spiritual life is not less than that, okay? And something I always tell young guys and old alike, to be a man, to be a good man, to be a Catholic man, to be a Christ-like man is to be virtuous. And to be virtuous is to be strong. Strong in what? Mind, intellect, strong in body, right? Irascible and concupiscible appetites, and strong in spirit, directing the will towards our Lord Jesus Christ and being unified with him. Okay. So our rule of life, okay, is designed to help you grow in virtue. You need more than just the rule, but it's a very beneficial thing. So I would encourage you guys, live the mission of the St. Joseph Society to order all things to Christ by what? Growing strong in mind, body, and spirit. Reflect up on the human person this week. Think about the powers of these souls. Think about the fact that God wants to pour grace into your life in order to help you grow. And your love of him and grow in virtue so that you can become the man that he wants you to be. So that's a good stop and spot there. We're butting right up against the end of our time anyhow. So I hope you guys have an awesome week. Remember, all the notes are online. They're there to help you guys out, help you guys to grow in wisdom, make the best use of this time. And I'm telling you guys, if you stick with these, you know, once a week working on this stuff, you do that for a few months, few years, you're really going to know your stuff. So God bless you all. talk to you next time.